Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 50. We are using the commentary of Amloes by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or listening to our any of our hundreds of Torah Shiurim or Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for, in the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding chapter 89, Pasuk 38. I will repeat the Pasuk. Ki yoreach yikon olam ve'ed v'shachak ne'mon selo. It will be established forever as the moon and be steadfast as the witnesses in the sky selo. Just as the moon sometimes shines and sometimes does not shine, so will it be regarding the kings of the house of David. They will all be included in the list of kings because the Messianic king must emerge from them. A subtle interpretation says, the Torah informs us how a king must conduct himself. That is, he must always consult with his advisors. He should not rule alone, for only he who is one rules alone. Accordingly, one who considers himself wise and not in need of advice conducts himself contrary to the pattern of behavior taught by the Torah. The Torah teaches that the greater consult the lesser. Thus Hashem said, let us make man as found in Chumash Bereishis. According to our sages, the plural form indicates that the Creator held a consultation before creating man. Hence it says here, his throne as the sun against me, Negdi. If one conducts himself like the sun that shines all alone, that is against me. That is not what I taught in my Torah. When I said, let us make man, I consulted the angels when I was about to create man. Pasuk 39. But you have cast off and abhorred, you have been furious with your anointed. Having foreseen the destruction and the exile, the singer says, but you have cast off and abhorred your anointed whom you place far from you. You have been furious with your anointed. This refers to David's descendants. So terrible will be their afflictions. It will seem as if Hashem abandoned and abhorred his anointed in great anger. The singer expresses his perplexity. After all those promises, how can it be said that you have cast off? If this is only a temporary condition, that is understandable, for their kingship is as the moon, which is darkened at times. But how can it be that you have abhorred? Out of love for Israel, the singer protests for the sake of Israel's glory. Similarly, we find that Yirmiyahu said, have you utterly abhorred Yehuda? Has your soul despised Zion? Zion, why have you smitten us? And there is no healing for us. A pasuk that's found in Yirmiyahu. Some explain that the nations will say this about the Jewish people in the future. But you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. Pasuk 40. Ne'arto beris avdecho chilalto lo'oretz nizro. You have nullified the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his ground to the very ground. You have nullified the covenant that you established with him. You have profaned his crown by casting it down to the very ground. For in this exile there is no throne for the children of David. In these psukim, the singer depicts the suffering which the Mashiach is bound to undergo. He will continue to suffer until the suffering which has been decreed upon him has been completed. Pasuk 41. Paratzto kol gedei rusav, samto mitzoro pechito. You have broken down all his fences. You have set his strongholds to ruin. The singer refers to the walls of the city of David. You have broken down all its fences, and the enemies entered to capture it. Although you said the enemy will not extort from him, you shattered those very same fences. You have set his strongholds to ruin. Another interpretation says, you have set his strongholds to dread. One who dwells in a fortress is not usually afraid, but you have made the strongholds of the city of Yerushalayim a place of fear and terror. Pasuk 42. Shasuhu kol ovrei dorech hoyecherpa lishcheino. All passing travelers plunder him. He has become a disgrace to his neighbors. after its fences were broken through and its strongholds reduced to ruin, it was plundered by all passing travelers. It was reduced to rubble by passing travelers. From being an important and imposing place to everyone, it has become a disgrace to his neighbors. A different interpretation says, all who plundered it were evildoers who transgressed the way of Hashem. Hence it became a disgrace to its neighbors. Pasuk 43. Harimosoi, Harimoso, Yamin Sarov Hismachta Kol Oyvo. You have lifted up the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies to rejoice. Having said, with whom my hand will be established, my arm too will strengthen him. The scripture says here, you have lifted up the right hand of his adversaries. Those same adversaries who could not overcome him. You now lifted up their right hand. Instead of his enemies being in fear and dread before him, you have made all his enemies to rejoice. And thereby alone have you lifted up their right hand, and they are strengthened. You have made all his enemies to rejoice at our suffering. Pasuk Mem Dalet, Pasuk 44. Avtot Shiv Tzur Charboi Velo Hakimoso Lamilchama. You have even turned back the edge of his sword, and you did not make him stand up in battle. In one interpretation, the pasuk refers to the victim of the enemy's aggression, Israel and Yerushalayim. You turned back the edge of his sword, and when he fell in battle, you did not make him stand up. This is the opposite of, when I fall, I shall rise again, a pasuk that's found in Micha. In another interpretation, the pasuk refers to the enemy Nebuchadnezzar. Not only did you not bring retribution upon the enemy for having rejoiced at my catastrophe, but you even turned back the edge of his sword. When Nebuchadnezzar was informed that Paro Mitzrayim was coming to help Tzidkiyahu, he marched against him. Everyone thought that he would no longer return to Yerushalayim. What actually happened was that Nebuchadnezzar returned with a sword sharper than ever. When Paro was informed that Nebuchadnezzar marching against Tzidkiyahu, he changed his plans and did not fight against Nebuchadnezzar. Thus the Torah says, you did not make him stand up in battle against Paro. Pasuk 45. Hishpato mitohoro v'chisoy lo'oretz migarto. You caused his brightness to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. In its earlier brightness and refinement was destroyed, and you cast his throne from a high mountain down to a deep ravine. The Targum says that this refers to the Semikdash, the Holy Temple. Hence you means the enemy, and his refers to Hashem. Thus the Pasuk reads, you cast his throne down to the ground. Another interpretation says, you caused the purity of King Yoshiyahu, who was clean and pure, to cease. For he was killed by Paro Nechi. The result was that you cast his throne down to the ground. The holy Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and thereafter the sovereign rule of the house of David was abolished entirely. Pasuk Mem Vav, Pasuk 46. Hiktarto Yemei Alumov Hatiso Olov Busho Sela. The days of his youth have you shortened. You have covered him with shame, Sela. You shortened the days of the kingdom, which are likened to the days of a man's youth. You have covered him with shame. For you made him promises, and the enemies taunted him, that there was now nothing to hope for. Another interpretation is based on the reading of Alumov as his disappearance. You have shortened the days when kingship had disappeared. The Babylonian exile lasted only 70 years. Yet when they returned from the Babylonian exile, kingship did not return to the seed of David. You have covered him with shame. The holy temple was rebuilt, but the kingship of the house of David did not return. Pasuk Mem Zayin, Pasuk 47. Admor Hashem tisoseh lenetzach tivar kamo eish hamosecha. How long, O Hashem, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? The singer likens the exiled children of Israel to servants of a king who conceals himself so they should not appeal to him for mercy. How long, O Hashem, will you hide yourself forever, as if you did not see the affliction of exile? How long will your wrath burn like fire, because mercy is concealed, There is no counsel for the defense to speak on our behalf. As a result, your wrath burns like a fire, which consumes everything. Pasuk 48. Zachor ani mecholad alma shav baraso kol b'nei adam. I remember how short is my lifetime. For what worthlessness have you created all the children of man? The singer protests, it is enough that we must contend with the anguish of death and the short span of our lives with the pattern of nature established by you. Why do you add more evil upon the evil that already affects us? I remember how short is my lifetime. For what worthlessness have you created all the children of man? Worthless and futile is man's life, for in the end he must die. Another interpretation says, I am reminded how short is man's time in this world before his sin condemns him to a very long punishment. Others relate Choled to Chadal. The corresponding reading of Mar Cholad says, what remains as in that he may cease. Pasuk is found in Iyo. Thus the present verse reads, I remember what remains, for what worthlessness have you created all the children of man? Should you say, like Pasuk says in Habakkuk, there is still a vision for the appointed time. I remember how short is my time in this world. This world is called Choled because all cease to exist here, the Chodal. Everyone waits for death. I remember for what purpose I am in this world, and for what worthlessness have you created all the children of man. All they strive for are things of the earth, and their end is to return to the earth. Pasuk 49. Migeve yichyev lo yire moves yimaleit nafsho miyad she'ol selo. What man is he who lives and will not see death, who will deliver his soul from the power of the grave selo? You have made evident the worthlessness of man's creation. For the short span of human life includes all children of man and all inhabitants of this world. What man is he who lives and will not see death? Nor is it enough that the body dies, but he cannot deliver his soul from the power of the grave. There is punishment of the soul to expiate his sins. Similarly, the Pasuk says in Iyov, are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. A subtle interpretation says, what man is he who lives and will not see death? What man's life is true, living rather than dying? Is it that man who will deliver his soul from the power of the grave? Thus we find that a man who causes Hashem's name to be profaned is called dead during his lifetime. But the man who gives his life for the sanctification of Hashem's name is called living even after his death. The designation Gever refers to one who has overcome Gavar, his sins. As it says, why then does a man Adam complain, a man Gever, over his sins? A pasuk that's found in Echa. If he has risen beyond his sins and not sinned at all, he will deliver his soul from the power of the grave. Pasuk Nun, Pasuk 50. Ayei chasodecho horishonim adonoi nishpato ledovid bemunusecho. Where are your former acts of loving kindness, O Hashem, which you did swear to David in your faithfulness? The singer turns to Hashem with a demanding question. Where are your former acts of loving kindness, O Hashem? Where is the attribute of your goodness whereby you performed your former acts of loving kindness? Where is what you promised to David to fulfill all the promises that you swore in your faithfulness? Pasuk 51. Zechor Adonoi Cherpas Avadecha Se'esi Bechekai Kol Rabim Amin. Remember, Hashem, the disgrace of your servants, which I bear in my bosom, the taunt of so many peoples. Remember, O Hashem, the disgrace of your servants, because I am your servant. Remember the humiliation we suffered because they reviled us. I bear in my bosom the taunt of so many peoples. The singer beseeches Hashem to punish those who distress the Jewish people at the present time. Let him also punish those who distressed Israel at the time of the destruction, even though they are long dead. Thus he says, remember Hashem, the disgrace of your servants in the past, and remember as well the taunts which I bear in my bosom of so many peoples who revile us in the present exile. Pasuk 52. Asher Cherfu Oyevecha Hashem Asher Cherfu Ikvos Mashiachecha. Those who have taunted are your enemies, O Hashem. Those who taunted the footsteps of your anointed. I do not suffer mainly at my own humiliation. The disgrace of your servants I bear in my bosom, and am able to endure it. This is not so concerning the disgrace of your great name that is profaned among the nations of the world. What is more, they have taunted the footsteps of your anointed. They say that the anointed Mashiach will never come. Pasuk 53. Boruch Hashem le'olam amen v'amen. Blessed be Hashem forevermore, amen and amen. Because the singer has expressed his protest and lament throughout this psalm, it might be thought that he does not finally justify Hashem's judgment. Accordingly, he says, blessed be Hashem forevermore, amen and amen. His outcry came out of the pain of seeing the degradation of the Jewish people, and no man is held liable for a transgression committed while in pain. The psalm concludes, blessed be Hashem forevermore, for everything that He has done for us. Thus the singer saw prophetically the coming of the Mashiach, and he expressed his thanksgiving to Hashem. He also gives thanks to the Almighty for helping him compose this Sefer, since this concludes the third book of Sefer Tehillim. The singer says, I see all the evil that will befall my people, the disgrace of your servants, yet do I say, blessed be Hashem forevermore, amen and amen. I praise and give thanks to Hashem, both for the good and for the bad. He also beheld the return to Zion, and for this he gives thanks and offers praise. The Medrash says, to what can the world and the glory of Hashem be compared? Compare it to a king who owned treasure vaults full of good things. Why are these things just lying about? He asked. I will buy servants, provide them with food and drink, and they will exalt me in song. The world was in chaos and emptiness, as we find in Chumash Bereishis, and Hashem acted to create the world. He made man and gave him dominion over all the good things so that he may praise him. What is it then that we must do? We must praise in song and bless him. Thus the Torah says, let every soul praise Hashem. Hence the singer says here, blessed be Hashem forevermore, amen and amen. Said Rabbi Yossi in the name of Zimra, amen, faithfulness, amunah, amen, and oath, amen, acceptance. Chapter 90, Pasuk 1. Tefillah le'moshe isho lehim Adonoi mo'on atoho yisolanu bedor vedor. A prayer of Moshe, the man of God. Hashem, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The present psalm opens the fourth book of the book of Tehillim. This particular prayer was composed by Moshe, our Rebbe, our teacher, as a lament over man's naturally short lifespan, and over the fact that one can even die before his time. He appeals to Hashem to extend men's life, or at least they should live out their full span of years and die a natural death. Moshe is called the man of Hashem, as it says in the Torah, and this is the blessing with which Moshe, the man of Hashem, blessed the children of Israel before his death, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. He was given this title because he was concerned with spiritual matters rather than the pursuit of material things. He was the man of Hashem also in the sense that he sought no personal end in teaching the people of Israel. He was simply Hashem's envoy, like an angel that does not seek anything for itself. His sole purpose was to benefit the congregation of Israel. He was the man of God in the sense that he was a prophet of Hashem. Moshe was one of 10 people called men of Hashem. The others were Elkanah, Shemuel, David, Shemayahu, Ido, Eliyahu, Elisha, Micha, and Amon. The Radak has written that this prayer was written down and later found by David, who included it in this book. They had a tradition that it was a prayer of Moshe, our teacher. Ratzad Jagon reads La Moshe in the sense of the people of Moshe, named the Levim who chanted it in the Holy Temple. Similarly, it says, Ne Korach Mizmor of the sons of Korach Etzal. The sons of Korach is a general name for the Levim of the descendants of the actual sons of Korach who chanted in the Holy Beis HaMikdash. Holy Temple. We find an example in the Torah, in Divrei Hayamim, and Yoyada was the prince of the house of Aaron. What the Torah meant was the sons, descendants of Aaron. The same obtains of Moshe, namely the people of Moshe, the Levium. Some say that this psalm speaks prophetically about the exile, the Golus. Moshe prayed regarding the long duration of this exile, and he spoke his prayer as if he himself stood in exile. Within the psalm, Moshe also speaks about man's frailty and the short span of his days. Accordingly, he prays that Hashem should not punish human beings in accordance with their deeds. As it says, "Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little." The pasuk that's found in Iyov. This psalm is linked to the following psalm, which begins, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." That's the next chapter. That psalm deals with the answer to the issues raised in the present psalm. Regarding the short span of man's life, the following psalm says that the man who complains in the shadow of the Almighty is spared the afflictions brought on by time. He will live long until he completes the appointed years of his life, and during his lifetime he will perfect what he must perfect. Moshe composed 11 psalms according to the 11 tribes whom he blessed in his blessing in the end of Chumash Devarim. He composed a psalm for each and every tribe individually. He begins with a prayer of Moshe, which corresponds to the tribe of Reuven, of whom he said, "Let Reuven live and not die." The Midrash Tehillim actually lists the psukim that correspond to the 11 tribes for whom Moshe wrote a psalm. According to Rabbi Levi, there Moshe composed every one of those psalms by prophetic inspiration. Why then were they not written in the Torah itself? For these were words of prophecy, and those were words of Torah, and words of Torah are not to be separated from each other by words of prophecy. Thus the Targum says, a prayer that Moshe the prophet of Hashem prayed when the Jews sinned in the wilderness. Thus he says, "O Hashem, that the dwelling of your presence is in heaven. You have been to us a support in every generation." This explains, therefore, why these psalms were spoken in the plural form. For example, "You have been our dwelling place." David himself would not speak except in the singular form. Some say that Moshe prayed for the desert generation after it was decreed that they were to perish. He pleaded that Hashem take into consideration the material aspect of man's nature and hence lighten their punishment. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. V'terem horim yuladu v'atcholel eretz v'sevel u'me'olam ad olam atokel. Before the mountains were brought forth and before ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are Hashem. The prayer of Moshe is divided in three parts. The introductory part begins, "Hashem, you have been our dwelling place in all generations." That's pasuk number one. Hashem shields us and provides refuge for us, just as a dwelling does. Thus the Torah says, similarly, the eternal Hashem is a dwelling place. That's found in Chumash Devarim. Hashem is to us a kind of dwelling that lasts forever. Dwellings come and dwellings go, even as generations come and go, as found in Geheles. And we live in temporary physical dwellings. But Hashem lives and endures forever, and He has been our eternal dwelling place and our refuge. "You have been our dwelling place, for Hashem is the place of the world." Moshe says, speaking for the Jewish people, "In all generations have you been to us a place of refuge." The prayer is so arranged that Moshe begins with praise of Hashem. He declares that Hashem is complete in Himself. He did not create the world except for our sake, not because He had need of us. Accordingly, Moshe says in the present psalm, "You are the creator of the world, but you existed even before the world was created, before the mountains were brought forth, and before every man came into being, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are Hashem." nor has your supervision over us been anything but by the attribute of goodness to do good, for you desire doing loving kindness as found in the Sefer Micha. Although you do not need us to serve you, nevertheless you have been our dwelling place in all generations, against all who would keep us from serving you. With the interpretation that Moshe here protests and laments over the long duration of our exile, he says, Master of the world, I ask you to judge us in accordance with our measure, not in accordance with your measure. Yet do I admit that all your ways are judgment. Pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim. For we should not have sinned before you. You have done us great good. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. This psalm also speaks of the survival of the soul to counter those who denied us. Moshe says, before the mountains were brought forth, the souls had already found a refuge beneath your throne of glory, and they are a portion of God above. Pasuk is found in Iyov. You are the dwelling place and the abode for the souls of the generation that will go to the world to come. Although we call the Almighty a dwelling place, let us not think that his existence is new or that he can be related to us. Not so. Rather, before the mountains were brought forth and before ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That is to say, you are from eternity in the past to eternity in the future. This concludes the introductory part of Moshe's prayer. After the singer has spoken of heaven, he now says, before the mountains were brought forth, and before ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He mentions the mountains because they have been standing longer than other parts of the earth. Prior to the beginning of the creation and after it, you are God, the merciful one who favors with grace. You supervise and devise means to make sure that none are banished. Pasuk that's found in Shemuel Beis. Pasuk number 3. Toshev Enosh Adaka V'tomer Shuvu B'nei Adam. You turn man back to dust and say, return you children of men. Now begins the second part of the prayer, a lament over man's brief lifespan. In the beginning, it was decreed that man should live long, 1,000 years and more. How is it then that things have gone from one extreme to the other? Where at first his first days were so very long, subsequently you turn man back to dust. Instead of 1,000 years and more, he lives 70 years, and with strength, 80 years. Then you say, return, you children of men, to your dust. Man is called here Enosh, for desperate, Anush, is his calamity, and fatal is his wound. Some say that the pasuk urges repentance. You turn man back to contrition. You bring down afflictions upon a human being until he breaks down and is near death. In this manner, you call upon him to repent. Although men repent due to afflictions, you nevertheless welcome them. Return, you children of men, and I will welcome you. You welcome them as if they had repented on their own, rather than out of suffering. In making them suffer, it is not your intention to punish them, but to have them return to you. Repentance is one of the 6 things that were created prior to the creation of the world. Rabbi Akiva said, Hashem's right hand is extended to receive the repentance. And every day he proclaims, return you children of men. In the Tana Devei Eliyahu it says, I make heaven and earth bear witness that Hashem sits waiting for the people of Israel more eagerly than a father waits for his son or a wife waits for a husband. He waits for Israel to repent so he should redeem them and build them the Beis HaMikdash, which will then never be destroyed. When they return, 2 rows of ministering angels will stand before him, and they will chant songs before him. Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are Hashem. How is your sovereignty in the world recognized? For you turn man to contrition. You afflict him until his soul is contrite. To what can this be compared? Some men traveled in a ship, and the ship was struck by a tempest, driving it close to a forsaken island. An argument ensued whether they should step ashore. What if it's an island inhabited only by animals?
Finally, they decided to land. When they saw planted fields, they understood that men lived there. They still did not know if the inhabitants were civilized or cannibals. Then they saw magnificent palaces, and they understood that the natives were civilized people.
Please turn tape over to side B, and for those listening to a CD, please be patient a few moments.